everyone, welcome to the Value Inspiration Podcast. My name is Ton Dobber and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration. The purpose of my company is to help business software companies rethink what can be to become remarkable again. The goal that I have with this podcast is to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. So my strong belief is that we can think big, and therefore we should. And doing so will help to create a better world for all of us. And this podcast is all about that. The guest on my podcast this week is Nadia Muller, founder and CEO of iThrive.
Thriving means that people are strong, they're successful, they're healthy, they're in balance. And the idea is to help people to move towards secure attachment, towards that thriving, towards the balance. When you look at longitudinal studies that have been studying people for like a long time, seeing how they're changing their behavior, it is like this, that actually only 10% of the time we succeed on our own. People that were able to succeed, they had either a coach or a supportive partner, or they had a mentor or something else that was a really strong supporting figure in their life. And that's basically what we are aiming to do with Jean, and doing it on a really low entry barrier way. It's everywhere available, 24/7. It doesn't cost much. And then when you look at the other side, when an employee is happy, less sick leave, the productivity goes up, it has a positive effect on the entire team, which again inspires, you know, higher productivity. So it's just amazing what happens in an organization when you have thriving people.
This is Nadia. She's the CEO and co-founder of iThrive, a personal coach on your smartphone that helps you to transform counterproductive habits in order to thrive. It's a common fact, healthy and happy people are generally more productive, but many people still experience stress and burnout issues. This is what iThrive is designed to transform, and doing so, it promises to increase productivity at work by 400%. And this triggered me, hence I invited Nadia to my podcast. We explore what it means to make people thrive and how technology can play a fundamental role in that transformation. We thereby discuss what is required to win the hearts of the user by creating a solution they trust and actually want to use on a day-to-day basis. By listening to this interview, you will learn three things. Firstly, that a strong way to grow adoption of your solutions is to understand what makes the user tick, i.e., what motivates them. Secondly, how real value can be created by not just focusing on getting things fixed, but to actually focus on changing the underlying behaviors that caused the issue in the first place. Thirdly, that your business gets really convincing for a customer when you're able to convince them about the upside your solution will bring beyond the notion of just cost reduction. To get started with the podcast, Nadia, can you introduce yourself and give a little background to the audience about who you are, what you've been doing so far, and why you ended up creating iThrive?
Well, thanks for the question. And it's always hard to keep it short, so I'm trying to do that. Well, so as I said before, I'm born in South Africa. I'm Austrian by nationality, and it's actually my third time in the Netherlands. And to the confusion above all, I married a Dutchman. So that's why I have a Dutch-sounding name, and people think I speak Dutch. I used to work in the oil and gas industry, and that was also why I came three times to the Netherlands, part of this job. And also why I worked in Africa and everywhere else. And I was in engineering. And I worked in research on green projects, trying to change the system from within. And as we know, systems react more or less allergic to change. They don't like it. We people don't like change, actually. And I've been working on technology and just, you know, working on climate change mitigation. And I see the solution is already there. The technology is there. Why is it not being used? So that's when my focus kind of shifted away from engineering towards people and psychology and neuroscience and all that really fascinating stuff that goes on in our heads. I guess it added to it that I became a mom, and that also puts you on a kind of personal development path. And at some point I decided this is not what I want to do anymore. I want to find out what makes people tick, what motivates them, what makes them to become their best selves, basically. And then I stopped and I became a psychologist, certified professional, coach and started coaching people, and I realized I'm just one person and I can only help so many people. We need to have something where we can help people on a really large scale basis. And this is where, yeah, the idea of iThrive was born.
Okay. Interesting story. So talking about iThrive and the application or the solution that you created, what is the big idea behind it?
That will sound now like an answer that you've heard from beauty queens, world peace. That is actually what's behind it. But I mean it truly, because I believe that world peace is possible when we come to peace within ourselves. So that means resolving our internal blockages, our internal things that are standing in our way, resolving the internal conflicts. And yeah, that's what it's about. It's about finding out, you know, what is it that is really important to you? Find out what is standing in your way and what are you good at? And really moving towards that positive part and embracing the things that are standing in your way and resolving them.
Okay. So how does it actually work? If I would use it myself, I mean, what would I see? What would I do?
Well, you would, for now, get on Skype. And on Skype, you would meet Jean. That's the chatbot. And you will start having chats with Jean. So written chats at the moment. And you start engaging in conversations, in coaching conversations. Jean will ask you a lot of questions about how you see the world, how you perceive the world. And then based on that, what you say, Jean will start responding and giving you ideas or bringing new things into your perspective that help you to, yeah, find out what is important to you, what's standing in your way, and what you're really good at.
That's cool. So you can actually use this on a personal level, but also, of course, on a business level.
Yeah. But in reality, it's a very individual tool because it's for the individual itself to use. We're working on bringing this to companies because we can see that companies will benefit a lot from having a digital behavior change training that is on a personal level with the focus on trying to prevent stress and burnout.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting. So how does it become clever? How will people start to believe that this is really my coach? And will it ever learn from you? I mean, will it adapt to how you respond?
Yes. So absolutely. Based on the input that you give, Jean will respond to you and will also basically bring back things that you said yourself. So we'll say, hang on a minute. In the previous conversation, you said this and this. How does this work with what you're saying right now?
Okay. So, I mean, I've been talking to a number of other people on the podcast, and they also use all the insights and the knowledge from thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of other events and conversations. And is this how the product works as well? Or is it really on an individual basis? It's organized around that.
Mm-hmm. So how it works is most of it is scripted. So you could say it's a blueprint of my brain. And it's a blueprint of my colleague, Dennis, who's also a coach. So we know how certain conversations go. And then based on certain keywords, we go down different paths, if you want.
Understand. Yeah.
And this is exactly how we translated it into the chatbot. Yeah. So we listen to certain keywords, and then it will trigger a different kind of intervention than you would say another keyword. And the AI which we use at this moment is IBM Watson. And that's basically there to deepen the rapport. So to play back saying, I'm sensing here or I'm hearing that you're sad. Tell me more about this. To go deeper into certain emotions, to be able to really deepen the rapport with the individual user. That's what it's about. Then we have an algorithm that runs in the back, and that is the real deep research of it, which is connected to attachment theory. So what attachment theory actually, or let's say a step back, what iThrive stands for, what thriving actually stands for. Thriving means that people are strong, they're successful, they're healthy, they're in balance. They can say, I'm okay, and you, the world, and other people, you're okay too. When you're in this place, then yeah, then you're thriving, basically. And that's actually also in attachment theory what's called secure attachment. And so in reality, though, we are all not 100% secure attached. We are all somewhere playing a little bit in a different field, you know, where we tend to avoid situations, where we are maybe anxious, where we don't either trust others or trust ourselves.
Yeah.
And the idea is to help people to move towards secure attachment, towards that thriving, towards the balance. And that's basically the deep algorithm that is underneath, and that will take basically years to, yeah, to perfect. At the moment, it's like this, that we go by, that we analyze the data and see which fields people are playing in, and then try to deliver interventions that will help them to become more stable. And then over time, we are perfecting that algorithm.
Yeah, because it's learning all the time, of course.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I mean, and in, like you said, in the world of, I mean, the world we live in these days, both privately and, of course, on the business level, it's changing so fast. And also, when people want to become a better version, you know, you have to kind of go out of your comfort zone, which is always bringing, well, new fears and new insecurities.
Yes.
This is then, like, yeah, your personal mentor that gets you there, correct?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And the real big vision that is actually behind it, we actually started originally with virtual reality before we got into, you know, chatbots and artificial intelligence and all that.
Yeah.
Because the difficulty is, it's already incredibly hard to change behavior just by ourselves.
Sure.
But we are always part of a system. And the system will give pushback. So let's say at work or even at home, if I, Nadia, start changing, my husband doesn't like it very much. Because, you know, he married Nadia. Why is this woman changing? I don't want her to change. So in reality, it's like this, that whenever we change, we don't only have to deal with our own, you know, blockages, habits that are standing in the way, but also with our system.
Sure.
And so the vision, you know, 10 years from now, is the life simulator. So you can go into a virtual reality where you have virtual intelligent agents that are, for example, representing your team. Let's say you want to start changing something at work.
Yeah.
So you can start a simulation where you say, okay, I have a specific avatar that is my boss. And then I have a specific avatar that is my colleague. And then you program for certain characteristics, and then you basically press play on the simulation, and you go into a meeting and you do a new behavior. Let's see, you've been very quiet all these meetings, and suddenly you start speaking up. How will they respond to it? Yeah. So that's the ultimate vision of where we want to be in 10 years from now.
Yeah, I think it comes at the right moment. You know, it's there's so many things possible these days, and there's a real, I would say, a real need for this. Is there any research, by the way, that backs up your idea in terms of the need for it?
I mean, yes. So, I mean, the behavior change, when you look at longitudinal studies that have been studying people for like a long time, seeing how they're changing their behavior, it is like this, that actually only 10% of the time we succeed on our own.
Yeah, true.
So whenever we start new behavior, and then you always need a lot of help. People that were able to succeed, they had either a coach or a supportive partner, or they had a mentor or something else that was a really strong supporting figure in their life. And that's basically what we are aiming to do with Gene, and doing it on a really low entry barrier way. It's everywhere available 24/7. It doesn't cost much. You pay 10 euros per user per month compared to a coach that costs you maybe 200 euros per session. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it also that low barrier is going to make a difference as well. Because, I mean, the way you describe it, and the way I see it as well, it's actually a luxury to have someone available as a mentor that where you can get advice and get to the next level and bounce things off.
Mm-hmm.
And someone that keeps you honest with yourself in terms of, you know, going after your goals and actually doing it. Because it's pretty easy to push things off your agenda because there's other things happening during the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So from the aha moment to where you are right now, well, first of all, what sparked the idea? Was there a certain conversation, a moment where you said, you know, and now it's the time to do it?
Yes. I went to a meetup about virtual reality and psychology.
Okay.
And that kind of really opened my eyes to, like, the possibilities that are possible. And I was trying out a very simple application, if you like. It was for fear of spiders. And in that virtual reality, it was a model, and it wasn't a beautiful model. You know, it wasn't like Pixar quality Disney movie like, but just normal, crude, you know, model. Yeah. And when the spider dropped on the table, my reaction was full blast on. You know, I had to take down the gear because the spider was there and I was scared, you know. And that basically showed me the power of virtual reality. And then I thought, okay, we have to go in there and we need to do this now, basically. Yeah. But what we found out in that journey is that technology is not that far yet. It's even if you take a tethered device, you know, where you have VR goggles that are connected to a powerful workstation and try to run a simulation, it's not possible yet. It's just simply not possible yet. And that's where we did two pivots.
Why is it not possible?
Now, because the computing power is not there. And also the ability to model something like with these virtual intelligent agent. We have to wait for the gaming studios to catch up and come to that quality that we need in order to convince ourselves it's real.
Yeah.
And the other part is also the artificial intelligence. It doesn't matter who has started with it. We are just at the beginning with it. And in order to run something complex as a full simulation, technology is simply not there yet.
Yeah, it's going fast, but it's not there yet. I heard it a couple of times now in other interviews. So,
and that's why we did this pivot. You know, that's why we went away from that and said, all right, let's try an app. And then based on user tests where we had a chat element in the app, we got so good feedback that we said, okay, that's where we have to go to.
Yeah, and then gradually move on to the full vision.
Yeah.
So the app is available, or actually I think it is actually hosted inside Skype, right?
At the moment, absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm.
So what did you do to stay on the journey and to make it really remarkable? Were there any hard choices that you needed to make? Has the idea evolved from what you originally wanted to achieve beyond the fact that virtual reality was something that you wanted to achieve?
Yeah, so there were a couple of things where we learned. So one important one was when we really started talking, for example, to hospitals and looking into the research of many of these lifestyle diseases that we see nowadays, like obesity and diabetes. The behavior change or the need for an effective behavior change solution is so huge because this is like an avalanche that's coming towards us. It's really important that we have something that is available that people can use on a daily basis. So it has to be something that is on a smartphone.
True.
So that's a choice that we made very early on. It has to be on a smartphone. It's not going to be of use if it's something that is special that you can only run on workstations where you need some expensive gears for it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So with that, and as I said, the hard choice that you mentioned was when we got the feedback from the users saying, you know what, the app is nice, but what we really love is the chat. To really say, okay, we take our heart in the hands, we go and make a pivot and make a chatbot. Because in terms of software development, we had to really start from scratch again.
Uh-huh.
So, and to take that step and that risk, and, you know, we had to hire copywriters because it's all conversations and decision trees that you need to write out. So a very important part were copywriters to get professional coaches on it. And of course, it's software developers as well to get these conversations in and the complexity and dealing with any kind of possible answers you can deal with. And I have to say, I'm really proud of what we have achieved. The team has been amazing. Within like basically half a year, we were able to create an amazing product.
Wow. That's good. I mean, and that's also, of course, yeah, it's relatively, because it's so easy to embrace, because it's a chatbot, it's hosting a Skype. I mean, you can easily reach a large group of people that are actually using it and from there get the feedback.
Yeah.
That really helps these days.
Yeah. And the user feedback that we get is just, it's gold. It's just fantastic. You know, every week we get feedback and we're perfecting the conversations, little things that can run better. Most of the time, it's all about rapport. It's about deepening that relationship, the empathetic relationship between the chatbot and the user.
Yeah, that's a really important one.
Yeah, there's machine empathy, as weird as it sounds, but it's possible. No,
that is critical, because otherwise, it won't feel real.
Yeah.
And you want it to feel like someone on the other side that is actually real.
Yes.
And once that is happening, when you forget about it, then it takes off. So have you already reached your your pivot moment, the catalyst that spurs growth of the application?
Not yet. We're working hard on, not so hard actually. I mean, we are being successful with getting good leads with companies in, but it always takes time. And that's one thing that we just need to take in account. It takes time, because you need to move through the organizational levels, and every time you have a conversation, you need to close every single time.
Of course. So what is the value proposition for a business? Why would they invest in this?
Well, they get the value proposition. Let's say if the business case is you want to prevent stress and you want to prevent burnout, it's a very straightforward calculation. In average, burnout costs you something like 60,000.
Yeah.
And if you have an organization, let's say, of 5,400 people, and you buy a yearly license of iThrive for like 180,000, you get to your break-even point if you prevented 3 burnouts in the organization. And in reality, it's actually 1 out of 6 employees burns out.
Uh-huh.
So the business case is very clear and very evident.
And beyond burnout, because burnout at the end is a negative thing. Is it also, have you also seen examples whereby people actually start to deliver better results?
So what you also start seeing is that productivity basically increases.
Yeah.
You have less safety incidents, especially in hospitals. It's particularly related to patient safety incidents. That is when you say your people are going to thriving. And there's a very clear measurement that we also do with the chatbot and the tracking. When people are going to thriving, you get like 37% less safety incidents and your productivity goes up to like 20%.
Well, that is, I mean, for me, that's the business case, not the
burnout.
The burnout is sort of a nice byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, that's why I would advise it to any company, because it helps you to get... Yeah, to really kind of invest in your human capital. Because at the end, for most companies, human capital is the differentiation factor of a company.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is when you look at the HR industry, actually, is that you see a lot of money is invested into recruitment because the need is very urgent. You don't have enough people in order to make it happen. And there's lots of stuff going on, lots of different tests, lots of different ways of testing people and shortening the recruitment process. And the weird thing is that once a person is onboarded, it suddenly drops.
Yeah.
And it's more or less really up to, you know, the individual manager to make sure that the person is properly onboarded, and then when they are onboarded, to make sure that the employee is happy and productive.
True.
And that is something, yeah. There is a huge, and that's where the biggest costs are, basically. Because losing an employee again through turnover, or when it's less productive, or sick leave and everything, it costs so much money.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the other side, when an employee is happy, less sick leave, the productivity goes up. It has a positive effect on the entire team, which again inspires, you know, higher productivity. So it's just amazing what happens in an organization when you have thriving people.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I completely agree with that. That's also the reason why I started the podcast in the first place, because, I mean, you can use artificial intelligence and bot technology in order to automate things out and get people out of the process. But once you start to to augment them with knowledge and insights and and coaching to really make them, you can really make them do things that they could never do before.
Yeah.
This is a perfect example of that.
It is, because you would not be able to have a company-wide deployment of coaching. It's just you couldn't afford it.
No, of course.
So because you would have to spend per month 400 euros, and now with this solution you spend about 10 euros per month.
Exactly. Interesting and fascinating at the same time. So getting to the bottom half of the hour and closing out, what are you most proud of? I mean, what are anecdotes have you found from customers or users that made you smile?
I guess in particularly a chronic pain user who has said it made such a difference in his life to have this kind of companion and dealing with all the challenges that a chronic pain patient is experiencing, about trying to get back to normal life, trying to forget about that they're ill, and then an appointment is coming up and the whole world starts turning upside down again. And dealing with these setbacks, and then also feeling always like that they're a burden for the environment. And then getting the kind of feedback how Gene has turned out into an amazing companion for this person, and helping this person to ground and constantly reflect on their self-worth. And, despite the fact that they're ill, that they're still amazingly worthy. Yeah, that's the most touching story, I think, that we have. Yeah,
definitely. These are always ones that stick with you. You can see it in front of you. Exactly. Yeah. So out of what you've learned so far, first of all, going back to someone in the business world that's looking at how to increase productivity or how to increase competitiveness of the company, what would you advise a CEO of a company to do different with respect to how they approach getting their people more productive?
I think, to me, the key is always vulnerability and transparency.
Yeah.
To everything related to human. I think a lot of companies are very good in sending messages and telling what they need from the employee. And that's also a feedback that we got from one of the users, where they said that they saw an amazing change because the whole group started using it, including their team leader, and how they could starting to see that they had much more honest conversations, much more transparency.
Really?
And particularly the question in return from the team leader: what can I do for you? What is it that you need?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think this is it. I think this is where the direction needs to go. The question to the employees: what is it that you need?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very simple question. It's often forgotten.
Because people are afraid of the consequences. Because if you ask them, you also have to follow up on it.
True.
And it might not be easy to follow up on it.
Exactly.
Because it would require to maybe show yourself vulnerable as well.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of potential there. I mean, if you look at it from the software side, for me, being an entrepreneur that is creating technology solutions, I'm not sure whether you've done that before. You've typically, what I've learned in the beginning of the call, you came from the engineering space, oil and gas. What would you advise a software company to do in order to create a better impact with solutions? The approach to working with users in order to get the best possible impact for them?
I think it doesn't differ much from what I just said before. It's finding enticing ways to get feedback and to get into a dialogue with the user. And an enticing way, in the way that it's not a survey that you get in your email, but a different way where you basically really create value out of just having a quick conversation with them.
Exactly. Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's a valuable one. Because we often ask, what do you need? And then that question is turned into the wrong thing. And they start to talk about the specification rather than what they really need in order to thrive.
Absolutely. Coming back to also what Simon said with the golden circle.
Yeah.
If you're able to define your why and you can communicate that why and also ask for the why in your users, I think then you have gold in your hands.
Fantastic quote. So what is your greatest aspiration? What is next?
Well, Actually, my greatest aspiration is very simple. I want to get iThrive to a place where people start using it on a real large scale and going to the life simulator. But most of all, I want for my daughter to be happy. So it's more work at home, actually. That's my biggest aspiration at the moment than iThrive. iThrive goes in parallel, but the happiness of my daughter is really something that is at my heart.
Yeah, well, that's where the balance needs to be. And I think everybody can agree with that.
Yeah.
So if there's anything you could ask the audience, what would it be? What's your big ask?
To take time to find out what is really important to them.
Yeah.
And then out of that, start thinking, what can you do with something like our services? And this is something that you could need or something that you know could need.
Yeah. Yeah. Spot on. So where can people go to find out more about you, about your company, and to connect with you, say hello?
Right. So easiest thing is the website, of course, which is www.ithrive.nl. And my email address is also free for people to contact me, is jean@ithrive.nl.
Okay. That reminds me of something because of the .nl part. Is it only in Dutch or is it also in English?
At the moment, it's in Dutch. And if the right business case comes along, we are going to translate. We really want to localize. Yes.
Yeah, I can imagine. Exactly. Thank you very much, Nadia. This was fascinating. It inspired me, and I think it will inspire a lot of other people.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and that's glad I did. So talk soon. And for everybody that's listening today, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I had the honor to speak to Nadia Müller, founder and CEO of iThrive. The goal of this podcast is to share compelling ideas and showcases to inspire what can be when technology and people blend in the right way. It's my strong belief that too much focus is put on automating people out of a process, in other words, cutting costs, rather than scenarios where the unique strength of people are augmented with technology to change the established rules and to deliver a value that was unimaginable before. So, with this podcast, I want to make a contribution to change this, to create a broader awareness of what can be, to accelerate the adoption by bringing together you, a tribe of like-minded people and organizations, and lastly, to accelerate the initiatives and solutions that could be created because one idea inspires the other. So if you know about stories that are worth sharing, please send me a message. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas, and that starts with you. If you want to have more information, read my blogs, or obtain information on working with me, just visit me on my website, valueinspiration.com. Thank you for tuning in, and you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast or provide me with your feedback. I'll see you shortly in a new episode.